Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. And people, female talk. We are in the house. And this program is sponsored by Female Talk. I know you got them, or you should. And the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And I was speaking Whale Wonder. And if you are a drug-free athlete, you're looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals. Like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Check us out at t4vmuscle.com. And now, liggity, let's go. But started way old.
You know, it's getting kind of scary that I actually knew that's what you were doing. I was about ready to say something. But you put it in perspective yourself. So there you go. All you Nemo watchers out there, Nemo and Dory fans, that was our tribute. So it is Tuesday night. Welcome. Hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know that we and the Real Talk crew had so much to be thankful for. And I know Kaylin in particular was out sharing the love. He's with a group that he feeds a lot of individuals who are in need, and they spend the majority of the weekend feeding folks. I believe over 500 meals were served. Tell us a little bit about that, Kaylin.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't think you were going to bring that up. Okay, what we do is, like, it's the holiday, and everybody's making for big family members and big family meals. And what I had noticed is, like, I'm sure a lot of people have noticed, but just never really taken a care to think about, is all the leftovers. And, you know, instead of letting the food go to waste or, you know, be basically put on a plate and, you know, just discarded because nobody really wanted to eat it all, I just came up with the idea of, if you have leftovers, you know, we'll get enough drivers and we'll come around and pick it up. If they're on paper plates, or if we need to make the plates ourselves, we'll bring the Tupperware or whatever, or the Dixie plates, however you want to do it, and just, you know, make different plates for people to eat, and we'll warm them up and dispense them out to the homeless or the people that don't really have ways to celebrate Thanksgiving in the manner that we consider an American tradition of celebrating Thanksgiving. You know, aside from the Black Friday and Cyber Monday, there's still people that actually want to get their families together and actually celebrate, and some just don't have the means or the finances to make that happen. So what we do is we gather up the different leftovers from different families, and hopefully we get it from people that can actually cook, because that would be a travesty to have them try and celebrate and then they're eating, like, really bad food. So we had to, you know, it's a work in progress, but it's working out well. And, you know, first we started with, like, maybe 25 people that were being fed. Now we're over to 500 individuals. And that's not 500 plates, that's 500 meals to different people. That means they can come back for first or second. It doesn't matter, because we're basically giving the food out until it's done.
Yeah, man, that's amazing, and that's a blessing. And I, you know, it just makes my heart happy to hear about things like that. So I wanted to share, and, you know, if you guys are out there making a difference in your community, we would definitely love to hear about that too and share that with the rest of our listeners. On my end of the world, I volunteer with the van ministry, and like Kaylin, we deliver food, although it's more canned food, box foods, not really perishables, unless we can find them. Sometimes it's hard, but on a regular basis, and we deliver to individuals who don't have transportation. So twice a month, making food boxes, food bags, and getting those out to folks. And it really, really is a needed service out there. And as Kaylin and I were talking, he had said, you know, fortunately, we served 500 people, and unfortunately, we served 500 people just because the need continues to grow. So just really encourage everyone to be active part of your community in any way that you can, because everyone has different talents and it all comes in different shapes and forms. But I do challenge you and encourage you to get out and do that. And with that, another thing that I'm still thankful for, another person I should say, is our guest tonight. We were originally looking to have him on earlier in the month, but scheduling conflicts, it didn't happen. But he was gracious enough to reschedule and be with us here tonight. You probably heard him giggling with us in the background there. And, Kaylin, if you would do us the honors of introducing our guest tonight.
Well, yeah, I enjoy it because this guy came out of nowhere this year. Because, you know, like this year has been very kind of laid out, where it seemed like, you know, you could almost see the pattern of who was competing and who was going to win and who was going to do what and the other. And Marshall Johnson was basically the name was on everybody's lips, because this is the guy that was just ready to go. And he was just winning and winning. And then we had the other competitors coming in, the big-name competitors. They were doing their thing. And then out of nowhere, this guy came and started winning the bigger shows with the biggest names competing. So he really blew us away, even with the background noise that he's doing right now. So it's a joy to introduce him. And, Marcel, just introduce yourself and let us know about you.
Hey, everyone. Marcel Roberts, 41 years old, father of two. I work full-time job. I work a part-time job. Me and my brother at New Life Health, doing personal training at boot camps. And, you know, and I start bodybuilding. And it's been a fun journey so far. And I'm just happy to be where I'm at, and just continue to grind.
So, not that Kaylin called you out for the background noise, but
no.
You're going the great way. Going the great way to start the show. But so Kaylin is right, because
right?
I remember, yeah, exactly, an icebreaker. I remember seeing you at Minnesota Mayhem, and you came in and you placed really well. I mean, you placed really well. I want to say, second, am I remembering right, from the pro
Correct.
Class?
Correct. I came in second to
okay.
Marsha Johnson.
Yep. And I at that point, I personally really didn't know who you were. Like Kaylin said, you know, Marshall Johnson was kind of the name on everyone's lips. And then all of a sudden, boom, here's Marcel Roberts.
Pretty much Marshall Johnson and Terry Starks.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. So, yep, and all three of you up there front and center. I mean, it was a really stacked lineup on that show. So how long, I guess, kind of take us along the timeline of when you started bodybuilding, how you jumped into the sport, and what that journey has kind of been like to where you are now as one of the more winning pros we've seen on the national scene this year.
It started back in 2012. I was actually just working out at the gym, and the guy came over to me and started talking to me. And he was like, man, you got some really nice shoulders. And my brother was doing the military press, and he started explaining to me that I had a nice physique and I would do really well if I did natural bodybuilding. And at the time, I didn't know nothing about natural bodybuilding. So he told me, you know, come check out the seminars at Mr. and Mrs. Natural Minnesota. So I went and checked out the seminar, and then that following May, I did my first show. And I did novice, tall, and I won first place. And I did my age group, which was submaster, and 35 and up or something like that. And I placed third. So I'm like, okay, This is cool. I liked it. I enjoyed it. So, you know, I kept at it. That was in 2012. In 2013, I went at it, my pro card, and I won the overall. and that was my my in Elk River, Minnesota. And so I made my pro debut at the Mr. and Mrs. Minnesota. And my first pro show, I played 6 out of 15 and
nice.
Ended up qualifying for the Yorton Cup. So my second pro show, not knowing a whole lot because, you know, I'm new at everything, not having a coach, basically just talking to the guys at the gym and them telling, you know, picking their brain, reading, watching YouTube, you know, trying to learn the diet because it was all just, you know, brainstorming. And I end up placing, I think, 9th out of, like, 14 when I went out there. So it's been an amazing journey. It's been short, although it seemed like it's been long because I've been competing every year. I haven't really took time off. It's basically almost every 3 to 6 months I get a little break, and then I'm right back on my diet and getting ready for the next show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now is I'm leaning forward toward taking that break now for a little while. it's been a long year because I started in first show was in May, and then, you know, I had to keep everything pretty tight all the way to the Mayhem. That was October 1st, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
we had a few more weeks to you know, tighten up or get whatever we had to do before the world in Kansas City. So
yes.
So it's been a long year, and but a good year. It's been a really good year, so I mean, I have no complaints.
Now, I'm going to go back on, and we're going to talk about the Mr. and Miss Minnesota, because that's not a small show. And I'm, you know, a lot of our listeners have been to the Midwestern region, but that one seems to escape a lot of our listeners because it's
mm-hmm.
far north, even though it's in the Midwest. That is one of the bigger shows of the region, and it's very well done, and it's also very well populated with top competition. So when you talk
yep.
about doing that show, just elaborate on it so people can actually understand just how big that show can get.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the biggest shows up this way. Aaron Callister, he runs that one. And every year that I've done it, it's always been, you know, some top guys up in there. And this one, I mean, that top five, everybody looked so good. He had Marshall again. He had me. Meshack was top three. And just the whole top five, I forget the other guy's name. But it's always stacked every year. And let me see, before I think it was Sam, he won it. And then before that it was, after that it was Paul Seaver. So you
mm-hmm.
always got some big guys up in there going at it. And it's getting bigger and bigger each year.
Each year, yes. And, I'm glad you brought that up because that's a big, big factor, because it's like what I'm loving about that show and that part of the region is that you guys flock to the competition.
Yeah, that's my goal. I mean, I want to go where there's competition because you won't get nothing out of it if you go to a show and there's no competition. I mean, you know what I mean? You want to be better.
Definitely. I mean, I think that should be the goal instead of not wanting to go to a show because the heavy hitters are there. I mean, ultimately, those are the shows that I would want to compete at, because if you do win and or place, you know that it's definitely been a well-earned
correct
position that you took. Yeah.
You work for it. And,
yep. Exactly. And so your story I'm finding very interesting because, you had already been putting in the work, you'd already been lifting, but didn't really know about natural bodybuilding. And your first year, a couple of years, you know, you were pretty much going, you know, doing it on your own. Are you working with a coach now, and how has that experience been different from, you know, how you first started?
Nope, I'm doing everything on my own. Let me see.
Okay.
After I won my pro card, I did work with a coach, Brian Ostrom, and I'm Ostrom consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with him for my pro debut. And if you can get a coach, I would definitely recommend it because it takes a lot of stress, a lot of guessing game out of it. Like all the way up until I got my pro card, you know, I'm pretty much guessing, and you know, me and my brother, I'm sending pictures back and forth, and you know, he's my eyes because you know when you see yourself every day, you don't really see a lot of change. So it's good to have that second set of eyes tell you, yeah, you know, you're looking good. You're right on point where you need to be. So if you can get that coach and get a good prep coach, one that won't ruin or break your metabolism, I would definitely recommend it because it would take a lot of the stress because you're already stressed enough about doing the show, making sure you come in the way you want to come in. So when you got that coach with those second eyes looking, it makes it just that much easier for you to get everything done the right way. But then after,
yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Marcel, what I'm driving at is because, like, after the Mayhem, there were a lot of people that were so ready for that show or getting ready for, like you said, the world in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of people that when they saw the competition kind of just fell off the map. It was like, well, you know, it's the end of the year. I did my best. I didn't place in the top five. You came down even harder in KC, because I had a chance to make it down there. And
mm-hmm.
But it's still, you're going from one stack deck to another stack deck. And I was just blown away that you're holding your own there with those kind of top names. Like you said, these are people that are perennial, like, all-stars in the natural community. The people that know, that are in the know, and are basically keeping up with competitions, know the names that are who are going to be coming and bringing their best. And you knew that still going down
right
there, and you still went.
Yep, I knew it was going to be, stiff competition. For one, it's the Worlds, and it's the IFTA. So, as far as the big things and all that, I wiped it all out. Don't even worry about who's going to be there. My whole goal was to worry about myself and making sure I come in there on point and you know, the best that I can possibly come in and not only just look good, be able to present myself the best way that I can make myself look to the judges. And that was my main goal because, for one, I knew I wasn't going to be bigger than the guys out there. I mean, you had, you know, big Terry Stark standing about 6'5". It's massive. There's no one, like you said, there's no one going to out-muscle him. So my thing coming into the show was just to make sure my condition's on point, make sure my color's right, and make sure, I'm hitting my poses and holding them enough so when the judges look, you know, they can see what I look like with everything hard on stage and stuff. You know, just holding it hard for a minute then loosening up. Maybe not every judge, you know, saw you. So that was my whole goal. I knew it was going to get work. So, you know, it was the posing. It was practice, practice, practice every day. Not enough practice, you know. You never get enough practice. You know, that's something you always want to do, and that's something that I stress on really big because if there's someone next to you and they look just the same as you but they're not presenting themselves as good as you, then you might edge them over because it goes forward when you pose them. When you're presenting yourself the best way that you can. So that was my main goal going into the Worlds and not to worry about, you know, who was next to me or who was going to be on that stage because, like I said, it's a world stage. You gotta expect the guys to bring their top packages and the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you bring that up about the tan because we're always talking about that, but also the posing because I don't know how many – there's been a couple of shows this year where – and the shows that you've been in and some of the names that you've already mentioned, and, you know, you see individuals backstage and you're just like, yeah, they're going to walk they're going to walk away with this one. And they're mm-hmm. practicing backstage. They look great. And then they get on stage, and you're like, what happened
right.
to the posing? And, you know, and I've experienced that myself. I know that there are shows where my posing has probably knocked me down a position
yep.
or two, but you're right. You can't practice enough. And we see it all the time. And even though we see it and we know it, it still happens to us. So it's just one of those things
yep.
where if your mind is not locked into what you're doing, it is very easy to dump that pose, which can cost you, you know, points, you know, 1 point, 2 point, because at that level, at your level, that's really what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a widespread
mm-hmm.
of points. We're talking about a separation of a couple of points at most
mm-hmm.
between first
yeah,
place
oh, yeah.
and second place, you know.
When
the
you,
difference
when
between,
you, got
you know. Two.
When you got everybody up there on point, I mean, the judges, the poor judges have their hands full, you know what I mean? So it comes down to the posing and the condition of what, you know, what the judges like to see. So if you're up there and your posing is poor, but you look good, they're going to knock you on it. You know, it's something I learned over time. Although I had the right equipment, I wasn't presenting it well, and my posing wasn't the way that it should be. So, you know, competing against these guys, going back and looking at pictures, and like Marshall, he's the master of it. I mean, his posing is just, it's just beautiful, every pose he do. And, you know, that's one of the guys, you know, I watch and, you know, look up to. And, you know, I try to make sure I'm presenting myself as the same to the best that I can so the judges can see me at my best instead of, you know, a lacking pose. So it's really big and it goes far.
Oh, my goodness.
It does.
We need to bottle that. Yeah.
Man.
For you sure. Know. I need my own bottle. But so just real quick, for our listeners who might not be as familiar with you as an athlete, can you just quickly give us a rundown of your shows that you competed in this year and how you finished up in those shows?
Okay, this year it was the Mr. and Mrs. Minnesota. That was the first one. That was in May. And I placed second. I think it was a class of, I want to say 14 of us. It was something like that. And I placed second to Marshall in that one. And I believe usually when I hit stage, I'm coming in about between 190 and 193. I believe that first show I was roughly around 193. So the second show was October. That was the Mayhem. And I came in to second to Marshall again. And the third was Terry. Fourth, I think, was Derek Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth was Chris. I forget his last name. And then that's when I went on. And I think up there I came in and about the same weight, 193, 195. So after, you know, I usually document everything, take lots and lots of pictures. And even when I hop on a scale the morning of the show, I take pictures and I just make sure I noted the weight that I was. So after watching those two shows, what I was coming in at and how I was looking, so I said, okay, well, I'm going to just try to come in a little lighter, a little leaner, try to get a little more conditioning. So going into the Worlds, the lowest my weight dropped down to was like 186.
Mm.
So that was the lowest during the whole prep was 186. And during my carb up at weigh-in, I think it was 192. When I went the weigh in, and on the morning of the show, I was 188. And, of course, I went on to win the heavyweight division, lost in the overall to the short class winner, Valentine, I believe his
mm-hmm.
name was.
Yes.
And that was the end of the season for me. It was a good way to end the season. It was a good season for me. I wanted it, so you know, I put in work. I worked. Probably was my longest prep. I think I started somewhere in February, mid-February, once I went into prep mode to get ready. I didn't know where I was going to end because the goal was Miami Worlds. I wasn't even going to do Kansas City, but, you know, life situations come along to where Miami, I couldn't squeeze in. So I wasn't going to do anything. I was going to be done. And my brother was like, "Yeah, man, you might as well go ahead and do Kansas. It's you know, 6 hours away. It's right there. You ready? Be a great way to end the year." And I was like, "I guess a few more weeks we can do it." I was like, "If you down, the road, I ain't going without you." But he was like, "You know it." So you know, we got registered. Hey, that's my right hand man. He's been there since day one, every show. So I was like, "If you down, I'm down. Let's do it," you know. So buckled on up, continued the diet, and you know, went into their full speed, no breaks. And like I said, I knew where I needed to be. I pushed myself as much as I could. Those last, because I had what it was, I had went on vacation because my brother was getting married, and I said, that's why I said I wasn't going to even do the Worlds. And I was like, I'm going to get my brother's getting married. I'm the best man. I can't not go and enjoy this moment because it's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went down, I ate food, had a good time. We hung out. We had beverages and, you know, did all that. Came back home and, you know, I'm just right there like 5 pounds, you know, up. And I'm like, I'm gonna do it. You know, I'm only 5 pounds. That's really nothing from stage weight after this whole weekend, you know, of binging and eating and enjoying and just enjoying life and my brother getting married. And but I still looked good. I was still lean. All the carbs actually did my body good. So when I came back home and I had that discussion with my brother and he was like, "Let's do it," you know, I went into that that mode. I was went to that grind mode and pretty much was hitting the gym I think it was about 14, 15 days straight, no days off, and just making sure I killed my diet every day, bumped up the cardio, just, you know, you know where you need to be. So, I mean, you don't always want to do it, but I buckled down and, you know, I did it. It all paid off. You know, the hard work paid off. It was all worth it at the end. So it was good. A good stretch of me grinding those last 14, 15 days after vacation.
Well, you held it together well, but I have to put it on the spot because we got a question from one of the listeners. Carl, it's a tough one. And it's I hope you're comfortable answering, but you know, we don't want to dismiss the questions because I guess they figure you're one of the top guys to ask. He asks, with the trend of natural bodybuilding and like what you had said about you can't outsize Terry Starks, do you feel that there's a too small look for natural bodybuilding? Like, I think he's asking, does it compare too much to the men's physique?
Well, I mean, my opinion, the natural, it seems that's what they look for. They look for the condition, the definition. I mean, if you're looking for bigness, you're going to have to go to the NPC. I mean, there are guys out there that's big, and they carry that muscle, but I don't see a lot of them with the same conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the natural, it seems like that's what they go for. That's what they're looking for. If you can have the muscle, that's even that much better. But a lot of the guys that I do see that's really big, they don't have that same kind of conditioning. But the muscle is definitely there. And that seems like what the natural, the IFPA look for. I've seen other organizations, and they seem like they go towards more of bigness, not as much as conditioning. So I guess if you're going to start, you're going to pick, that's how you have to pick your organization, which you want to, you know, for is what they look for and what they go for. Organization is different, and they look for a different kind of look.
Okay, we got a lot of your fans here. This next question is yeah, sort of the same thing, and it says, do you style your body and conditioning according to the organization you're competing?
No, because my physique is my physique. I mean, I've always been a small frame guy. I've never been a big frame guy. With me, I like the small. I like the way I look.
Hold on, Marcel, because you got three interjections. You are not a small competitor. Who is this guy kidding? He's a monster. I can't believe he just said that on live radio. So I think they're disagreeing with you.
Well, at 190 on stage, that's not huge. I mean, I guess it all depends on who's looking at you.
Blind. This guy is crazy. He has to be on. Okay, have you had your pre workout?
Well, I guess that's the way. I guess that's the way I treat myself. I guess that's the way I don't treat myself that big as some of the guys I'd be seeing on the stage. I guess, you know.
Okay, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. This guy is way off.
Well, thank you. Thank you for making me feel big then. Thank you very much. Cause, you know, even during prep, I mean, because when you're prepping and you're losing all this weight, because, I mean, I think I started over at 215. And then when you're dropping all the way down to 190, I mean, you're in there working out and you're looking at yourself, you just feel skinny.
Yeah.
You know? I guess that's the way I be seeing it. You know, I be feeling like I don't look as big as these guys. Because when I look at myself when I'm training, when I'm dieting, and I'm weighing in at 190, and I'm like, man, I feel skinny. But then again, I guess that's when they say you have to win a mental battle. It's a mental battle when you're going through all this, because if you don't win that, then, you know, you're going to fail right there.
Yeah. And I noticed, like you said, you started early in the year, so you know about that mental preparation and that. You know, what we used to call in other sports was the wall. You know, when you hit the wall. When you feel that coming on, is that when your support group steps in, or how do you deal with that?
Like I said, with me having no coach, I'm in the mirror. I'm taking pictures. I'm looking at pictures. Like I have my brother, and since he competes too, he's able to, you know what I need to look like, and, you know, he's always there talking about, yeah, you look good, you lean enough, or what I need to work on. But there is definitely a mental stage where you hit, because you're seeing yourself every day and you're looking the same, you don't see much difference. So you definitely have to get over that. I've got to the point now, once I hit that mental state, that mental wall, to just ignore it and say, I'm okay. Just keep doing what I'm doing. Stick to the plan. I'm going to be all right, on show day. Because I know it's just your mental self telling you you're not, because you're never lean enough. I don't care how much weight you lose, you're never lean enough in your mind. In your mind, you're not lean enough, And I know that's the mental telling me that, but, you know, reality, you're lean, you're shredded, you know, you're ready to go on stage.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And I hope, if nothing else, that the listeners really understood what you just said, because we can be so self-defeating without being intended
that
we take ourselves out of the game.
And we're our worst critics, no matter what. We're always our worst critics. You can never be lean enough. You might feel good, but, you know, when you're looking at yourself, you don't feel – you never feel like where you think you should be looking at yourself, but everyone else looking at you thinks way different. They like, you're shredded, you're good, but in your own head, you know, you don't feel like that. And like I said, that's the mental part. And I didn't did enough shows now to where I just ignore it, you know, continue with my plan, stick with my plan, follow through, and don't do anything dramatic, because I know people, they look and they be like, I don't feel like I'm lean enough, and they go to dropping the carbs even lower and lower, and here you are 4 or 5 weeks out, and you got 50 grams of carbs for the whole day.
Yeah.
That's just, You know, that's rough. You can't work out at
Mary.
That point. I mean, you haven't, I don't care what amount of pre-workouts you're taking, you just don't have that energy to train. And, you know, you still got a whole month to go before you hit stage, and you got, you know, no kind of micros, you know, to fill you up with carbs and nothing. So that mental stage is really big.
And
I can definitely relate with what he's saying. I know part of my issue is there comes a point in any prep that I have that I have to stop looking at other women that I know are going to be at the show, because you just start second guessing yourself. So I just have to stop and just be like, and focus on what it is that I'm doing.
Right. And that's another thing, you know, I tell people that's just starting out, log out of Facebook for, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, you know, before you go into hit stage, because you got people searching people's names, want to see what they look like. And I'm like, don't even do that, because that might be a picture from 5 years ago you just seen. And whenever you come on that stage, you can't go off an old picture you seen 5 years ago. You don't know what they're going to look like when they come on stage. They might jack their diet up. They might not. They might not look the same. So that's why you can't even worry about that. Facebook, all this Instagram, just log out of it. I don't even go on it. I don't even worry about big names or pictures, because, of course, everybody's going to put their best picture on their Facebook. They're not going to put a bad picture. They're going to put their best picture. So when you know, Facebook trolling, and you want to see who this person is that you're going to be competing up against, you're just going to psych yourself out in your head. Oh, I can't beat this guy, or I can't beat this girl, you know. So log out, you know, log out of there. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about no one. Worry about yourself, making sure you come in there with the best that you possibly can do. Make sure you did everything you can do, and go have fun at that point, because, you know, you didn't put in all the work, and now it's time to have fun, not worry about what somebody, you know, picture look like that you're going to go up against, and you don't know, you know, what they're looking like once they hit the stage.
That's very true, and I think that's the sports side of this competition, and a lot of people forget that when they think about other sports being, you know, stepping up against other people. But basically, if you don't practice right, if you don't do your stuff right, then it doesn't matter what that person's bringing, because you didn't come the way you were supposed to, and basically everything falls off.
Right. And you just can't worry about other people. I mean, like I say, I just zone all that out. I worry about me, making sure I'm on point, making sure I'm, you know, doing everything that I possibly can do, because by the time you hit that stage, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you got the sodium, you got the carbs, you got the water, and if any little thing can go wrong with at any time. So, you know, you stressing over someone else, you're going to mess yourself up, because, you know, you're going to miss something, because you're too worried about, you know, who you're going to be on stage with. I don't even look at the list no more. I just know it's going to be some stiff competition.
Yes. And, you know, being a fan of the sport, you know, seeing somebody like Derek Davis, how he transformed his body from a year ago until now, and then seeing Terry Stark, how he's putting on fuller muscle bellies and still maintaining the weight, that's got to be great motivation to keep pushing you to do more.
It always is. You know, I always see these guys going at it. And, you know, like I said, with Marshall, you got Terry, I mean, you got Meshach. I mean, all these guys. I mean,
they
keep you motivated. It's a whole nother level. And, you know, these guys keep you motivated, keep you going. And, you know, you got Marshall up there, 56, right in the midst of it. And ain't missing a beat. And always a threat any stage you step on. So, you know, you got that, and you just keep pushing. You keep pushing. You keep, you know, trying to push it to the limit the best that you can. So it's always it's enough motivation out there for you. That's definitely for sure. And those guys are the ones to study and watch, and, you know, with the posing and everything, because they got it perfected. And, you know, I'm still working on my posing. Still working on certain, you know, certain angles, how to hold certain body parts. Like with me, with my legs, a lot of guys bend their legs or turn them sideways. Well, that doesn't show my legs the way that they look, because if I gotta hold my legs straight and flex them. I can't bend mine because it doesn't show my feathers if I bend them. So once again, I have to do what makes my physique looks the best. So I have to stand there straight leg.
You start to sound like Mo Giallua and Cleveland Thomas, because they talk about posing even when they go to the public restroom. They like it's a chance to get a pose because you know, like you're saying, it's so important.
Every mirror I see, hold up, let me throw a little flexing right here. See how this looks. But it's really big because if you present yourself good, I mean, it's gonna look good, and you know, you're just up there smiling and enjoying yourself, because like all the work's put in, you didn't train for 6 months, eight months or whatever, and time to hit the stage, time to have fun, you know, just let loose, and you know, all the hard work is done. It's time to have a little fun, enjoy yourself, and go enjoy your little 15 minutes, if you're lucky. And then don't go 20.
Shoot, yeah, I can relate to that too. So I wanna flip the script just for a second, because you had referenced earlier this evening about your boot camps that I think you're running with your brother. Can you tell us a little bit more about that aspect of your fitness life?
We just run boot camps and training. It'd probably be 4 or 6 weeks. And you know, we used to have a great group of people come in, and we get them into shape, and we also do, you know, one-on-one. And my brother, he's getting more to the prepping people. I haven't messed with that yet. That's a whole other level, but we definitely whip you into shape and between the 4 to 6 weeks of the boot camp, and so far, you know, it's been a wonderful experience. And we actually
now
got
at
one
the boot camp
up,
was that something that you were already doing, or is that something that spun out of you getting started in bodybuilding?
Once the bodybuilding started, all that kind of like played hand in hand. And, you know, with the bodybuilding, my brother, he already had a massage therapist degree. So once we started all this, and then he opened up his little class, and then he did his massage therapy also. So it all went hand in hand, and it all works out with the boot camp and everything. Because he does the sports massage. Yeah, whipping them in shape, you know, so you get everything.
And then put
them
back
like
in
that.
Shape.
There you go. Keep those muscles going. It all works out, but it's definitely been a fun journey so far. You know, I'm still just getting started. We're going into my fourth year, and it's just a learning experience. I've learned so much just from start to now, and, you know.
Well, one quick question, and because I think a lot of people, well, this is more like just an in-depth, because you talked about the massaging part. We are incredibly hard on our bodies, and it is very vital. You know, I know a lot of people dismiss yoga, but it's a good outlet, and massage therapy is a great outlet, because we do have to go just the opposite in taking care of our bodies as well with the rest. Because I know people, a lot of people say, you know, I don't need sleep. And I'm thinking, yeah, you do. You know?
Yeah. You need it. You know, it goes hand in hand. You know, you beat your body up every day, you know, 2-3 hours or whatever you're doing. And, you know, you're lifting all this weight. So you definitely need to go release those muscles, you know, little pressure points, and get the sports massage. You know, then you come back, you're feeling better, your muscles feeling better, and, you know, you'll have, you know, better workout. So definitely Hello?
Yeah, we're
yep, you're still there.
Oh, definitely recommend that. And you know, it works all out. You know, you feel a lot loose, you feel good. You know, it's definitely worth it to pamper yourself with that.
Yeah, and it's not really, you know, I love when people say pampering, but it's not really pampering. You're basically getting your body back to where it needs to be optimal to work for the, you know, progress that you're looking for. And we dismiss it because it's not part of everybody's day, but it should be part of our lives, because we do go to the extreme. So we basically have to pull it back in some kind of way.
Yes, I agree. You got to keep those muscles nice and loose and happy.
Yeah, what he
keep
said.
Keep them happy.
You know, you get them
like
knots.
It.
You get them knots in your back. You know, it's like.
You
know, it's time to go get them out of there. You know, that's what the sports massage come in. And you know, when people getting ready for the stage, you know, they getting ready, want to get, you know, loosed up, get those knots rubbed out, and you know, so when they are up on the stage, they could, you know, do a better job. Because like I said, most of the time, if you're in there with a stiff class, you're gonna be up there for a while. You're gonna get worked, and the last thing you want to do is be up there and you got knots in your back or your legs or whatever. And, you know, catching cramps. So if you can do that, something like that for you, you know, get ready for the show, it just works out better. Makes it easier on you compared to being up there with, you know, tight muscles and knots in your
back. Last question from our listener. This is from Mike. He says, is it true that sometimes you guys have been on stage for 20 minutes during a show?
I have been up there for that.
Wow!
First time I did the Minnesota Mayhem, it was the Defect, and they worked us. That's probably the longest I've ever been on stage up there. And it was they had to split us up in a couple of classes, and they kept bringing me back up, comparing me to different groups. So yeah, I have been up there for about 20 minutes, and. That's where the posing and the condition comes in, because if you haven't been practicing, you haven't been practicing holding that pose, and you haven't worked on your conditioning.
Good point.
It's definitely going to show when they have you up there that long. So that's another reason just to practice and hold it. You know, after you're done working out, you're tired, you don't feel like doing it. Get up there and do it anyway, you know, for a good 30 minutes, you know, in front of the mirror or wherever you do it at. Just make sure you get it in, because you never know once you get on that stage what the judge is going to have you doing and how long they're going to compare you and what they want to see, and you know what I mean. So you definitely got to get it in. You got to practice, you know. You got to also hold it. Don't just hit it and move on. Sit there and hold it. Then go into the next pose, because it's definitely going to show when they got you, they're working you that much, and when you have big classes.
Yep, and ladies, what this guy said, because it all applies to you too, bikini, figure, physique, all of it. You have to practice, and you have to hold it for a while, because you don't know when you're going to be up there 10, 15, 20 minutes. It happens if it's a really tough class. You're going to be up there that long. So, good word. So, Marcel, we want to thank you a ton for joining us this evening. But before we go, We would like to give you the chance to say thank you and give shout-outs to anyone and everyone who has been there for you along your way.
Okay. And, of course, I have to give a shout-out to my my brother, Lamar Stringer, and New Life Health, because he's been there since day one. And, you know, the man above, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. My family, and, you know, even my ex-wife, she, when, you know, going through prep, she has the kids, and she like, you need me to keep them. Keita Roberts, she'll take them for me. Like, just don't worry about it. Just go ahead and do what you need to do. Once you get done, you know, you can get your time back in. You know, my sister Nakima down in, she's in San Diego. I would send her pictures, and she'll send me back feedback, and, you know, just all my friends and family. You know, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Appreciate everything.
Awesome. So, it's one last quick question. I know I keep saying we got to go, and we do. But, so you said you're getting ready for a break. So is that just a break through the end of the year or a break all throughout 2017? Or how long of a break are we looking at here?
I'll play it by ear. It's not always, it's nothing in stone, because I know once the season starts and you start seeing these guys on stage, I'll be like, oh, I can do a fall show. I've done it. I've done it a few years when I was like, I'm going to take off. You know, I see my brother on stage. You know, you just get it. You get it back. You want to get back on that stage. So nothing in stone, but he said he's going to compete. And if he competes, probably just sit back, because I don't really care to. Most of the shows, it's not separated by weight class. We'll all be on stage together, and the shows here in Minnesota, we'll bump heads. And I'd rather not do that. I'd rather do a show where it's heavyweight and the lightweight, and it'd be fun to be able to meet them in an overall if that ever happens. So you know, we'll. Sit and see what he wants to do, if he wants to compete in 2017, and then I'll just take a little time off, or I'll just do some shows out of state or something, or like, you know, Kansas City, I know they always have two classes, and you know, just play by ear. I just might want to just take some time off. It's just nothing's in stone, so I just see how 2017 starts, making sure I'm healthy, injury free, and you just never know what life's going to throw at you. So, you know, just I guess you could say it's going to be day to day. And see what happens.
You can't say it better than that. I think that's all out to the promoters to start getting those lightweight and heavyweight, because I know the pro division has grown. And when 15 and 20 people are on stage, there's no way to fit them all on there together.
Yeah,
and do like Marcel was talking about, the posing.
And it's hard when you have, you know, you have the heavyweights and the lightweights all mixed up in there. And, you know, you don't know what the judges, it's hard on the judges, you know. So when you got heavyweight and lightweight in two separate classes, and then, you know, it makes it a little better, then you always have that overall. So that much more fun to the whole situation. So, yeah, if they did add more, but I know they need more competitors to come to the show for them to do that, so they can have the, you know, the payout for everyone.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Marcel.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Have a great evening. Oh, definitely. So we'll be watching for you while you're on break.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes.
I'll be
all
around.
Right. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, good guy. Enjoyed speaking with him tonight.
A lot of fun. Yeah, I don't think he convinced any of the listeners that he was a small guy.
I don't think so either. And I kept meaning to ask him how tall he was so we could share that with everyone, but I never got that in there. Do you know how tall he is?
Hey, he's about 6 foot.
About 6 foot? Okay.
Yes.
So 196 foot, I guess everyone can make their own judgment call whether or not that's
in the natural community, that's a big fella.
Yeah. For sure.
Because I know Terry about 211, and he can be more conditioned. So if he were ever 205 or lower, he's still a big fella. You saw him up close, and you probably got hit in the face by his pack at the Mayhem. So, well, he can jostle those fellas around. You know that. And you were like, you had a bird's eye view.
We did. In fact, I think we have a recorded interview where he does a little demonstration of that. Kind of like the Dwayne Johnson peck pop of love. Isn't that what he calls it?
Yes, he did.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my. Check out the Midwest Muscle Facebook page. I believe that interview from Minnesota Mayhem with Derek Davis and Terry Starks is out there, and you can check out Terry's peck action if you're so inclined.
He puts a new spin on the peg deck.
Oh, shoot. Hey, and so as much fun as we had tonight, the fun is going to continue this Thursday. We're going to have the lovely Ivy Potter. She's always a good time. She's going to be on the show. She's got lots of updates and announcements for us, Sunless Ninja. She is now the tanner of choice for the Windy City Naturals that are coming up.
Go.
Yep, Brian McCabe show. So you want to check her out there. And then in our P4P Real Talk roll call fashion, we are going to have Nikki D'Angelo on the show. She was supposed to be with us a couple of weeks ago. It was a technical glitch. Her phone was down. So we are bringing her back, and she is going to be on Thursday. And then speaking of Terry, he is going to be our guest next week on Tuesday. So lots of good stuff coming up there.
Oh, wow. We got an all-star week.
I know. See,
wow.
Look at that. Even Kaylin's surprised. Yeah, I love it when we surprise ourselves what our lineup is on the show. So we hope you're just as excited as we are.
All
right, Kaylin, It is. I'm looking forward to that show. I look forward to all of our shows. We really never know what we're going to get sometimes, but we always end up with great people. So it's always a lot of fun. What?
Snicker doodle.
Yeah, there you go. I was getting to that, but yes, Snicker doodle. Did you get your Cyber Monday sale order in?
Yes, I did. And guess what?
What's that?
Guess what? They were low on Snickerdoodle.
They were low on Snickerdoodle?
Yeah, everybody's going for the Snickerdoodle.
Man,
not the chocolate. They had plenty of that, I asked.
Oh, they did not. You're just saying that. But if you missed the Cyber Monday sale, don't worry, because P4P is still running some pretty awesome offers. Free shipping, tax-free shopping, no shipping on order, $75 or more, WADA compliance, it's all awesome stuff. So don't let Kaylin fool you. Chocolate is popular. He's just partial with Snickerdoodle. We're just going to put that on the table right now.
And if anyone is wondering about the P4P and what they make up, I shared a little YouTube video about what it represents and what it all entails on the Midwest Muscle page. So be sure to go there and take a look at it.
And check out the P4P difference for sure. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and all of our boys at P4P Muscle,
eating chocolate.
And Snickerdoodle. No, chocolate. Your body is a temple, so let's build it.
Build it with Snickerdoodle.
Chocolate.